Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Cool, we're famous.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. That's how I know. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Si, senor. Wake up, America. It's the Thursday before Christmas, December 22nd. Good morning, and welcome back to the final hour of Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Glenn is enjoying his Christmas vacation. Our producer, Sarah Tafoya, is here with us in studio. Thanks so much for joining us. From the bottom of my heart, I so much appreciate it. I appreciate every one of you who is listening coast to coast across America on this Thursday morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app for our very last live broadcast of the year, with only three more days until Christmas. And that reminds me, if you love Christmas music, if you're one of those that loves to listen to Christmas music in the car and at all times this time of year, you've come to the right place. Relevant Radio has it for you in spades. Quick reminder, all you have to do is go to the Relevant Radio app or relevantradio.com, and you will find beautiful, absolutely gorgeous carols and hymns, real Christmas music, secular and traditional, all your favorites to get you ready for Christmas. Look for the Christmas in Song banner. It's available now on the Relevant Radio app and at relevantradio.com. Now, what is it about Christmas music that touches the heart deep down to the soul, that attracts us like a magnet to the real meaning for the season, the birth of the baby Jesus? In the year 387 AD, St. Augustine wrote in his Confessions these words: "How I wept deeply moved by your hymns, songs, and voices that echoed through your church. What emotion I experienced in them. Those sounds flowed into my ears, distilling the truth in my heart. A feeling of devotion surged within me, and tears streamed down my face, tears that did me good." Wow, what a description by the great theologian St. Augustine, and I know that feeling. I know exactly what he was talking about way back in the early church, Sarah.
Yeah, no, I think there is something about when you're at Mass, whatever Mass you choose to go to, and you're listening to the Christmas carols. I think there's something about Christmas, the music that they're playing, they're going all out. Sometimes there's trumpets, there's choirs, there's all these extra instruments and flutes and violins and all this stuff, depending on your parish and your capacity. There's an excitement in the air, and there's that, you're listening to it, and it kind of just, it cuts you right to the core. You're really feeling the message because you're in the moment, I think, if you allow yourself to do that. You're in the moment. You're dressed in your finest. You're on your best behavior, right? We're nudging the kids, hey, be quiet. This is the good stuff. You know, so there's just something about it. It's magical.
No question about it. And, you know, during Advent, we haven't had the Gloria at Mass. And so for the Christmas Masses, and we talked about it yesterday, there's four different varieties, including the Midnight Mass, of course, which is probably the most glorious of them all. The Gloria will be sung, and it's always extremely moving when all of a sudden the Gloria begins and everybody chimes in and you really feel Christmas has arrived.
Well, it's a good time to sing, you know, at Christmas time, because like I said, there's a choir, so you don't have to sound good. No one will hear your voice because they're so loud with all this extra music that you can just go crazy and you just blend right in. So it's the best time to sing at church.
And it was St. Augustine who once said, if you sing, you pray twice.
So, well, we'll be doing a lot of praying on Christmas when we're there at Mass.
Well, in the meantime, we have to continue to pray for the weather situation, something that this reporter is going to have to deal with, because I'm planning on going out of town, and I think it's delayed at least until Christmas Eve to drive to my wife's family. Three more days to go here, and the weather is definitely on the minds of so many Americans. More than 150 million people across virtually all of our 50 states are being affected by this Arctic blast that's being described as a once-in-a-generation winter storm. storm. It is a bomb cyclone is what they are technically calling it. Extremely, extremely dangerous travel conditions in the Midwest and across the plains. Wind chills expected between 50 and 70 below, which means you got to be really well-dressed. You got to be really careful because even 5 minutes out there, you could get frostbite.
I think now is definitely the time where everyone's going to be, we're already busy getting ready for Christmas, but we're going to be also thinking, depending on where you're at and how bad it's expected to get, you're going to be busy getting those supplies and trying to be ready for, even if you're not traveling, if you're in the area where there's going to be a lot of snow or very, very cold temperatures, sometimes it's not a lot of snow, but just how cold it is, they just need to be prepared. So we'll all be doing that as we get ready for Jesus.
Bingo, be prepared. That's really the bottom line because there's going to be sub-freezing temperatures as far south as Texas and Florida. There's already 1,100-plus flights that have been canceled. So please check with the different weather bureaus, national weather forecast. Check your local weather forecast as well. And as always, thanks, Sarah. It's always been a pleasure. This is our last live show together, but it's always a joy to chit-chat with you here at the beginning of the show.
You got it, John.
For sure. And we always begin every program, every hour, always in prayer. First things first, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings, keeping in mind that every day is a gift, and we always pray through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. And in a special way this morning, let's pray for all of the people out there who are going to be traveling for Christmas. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, Nuestra Señora de Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit every morning when we pray, come Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from Luke 1:46 through 49, from Mary's Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Our Blessed Mother Mary, in her visitation to Cousin Elizabeth, prophesied that all generations would call her blessed. For over 2,000 years, the Catholic Church has called Mary the Blessed Mother. In fact, every single time that we pray a Hail Mary, that angelical salutation, every time we pray the Holy Rosary, we are calling Mary blessed. Our Mother is blessed because of her yes to God, her fiat, and because of the fruit of her womb, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so in these final days of Advent, let's continue to meditate on Jesus, the reason for the season. And we always pray with great confidence from the Chapel of Divine Mercy, Jesus, I trust in you. You can always find us on Twitter, at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. And you can always send us an email, morningair@relevantradio.com. A number if you want to be part of the program this morning, 888-914-9149. Now I want to introduce you to a fabulous Catholic band. When you think you've heard all the Christmas music that's available out there this season, there is a ton of it. I bet you haven't heard something similar to this. Christmas Out of Sea, an album by Scythian that seeks to return to the Christian roots of Christmas with a unique take sung by sailors out at sea. Here is a listen. Give a listen to a sample from Christmas Out at Sea.
The angel Gabriel from heaven came. His wings had drifted snow, his eyes as flame. All hail, city, thou lowly maiden.
And joining us live now is Dan Federica, an ex-seminarian who co-founded an Irish Celtic Catholic band named A Scythian. He has played for an American president. He has closed out at the main stage at World Youth Day. Dan also founded his own award-winning Mainstream Roots Festival that features a Catholic Mass said by a bishop, and he's a first-generation son of Ukrainian immigrants. Good morning, Dan. Welcome to Morning Air. Thanks so much for joining us on this Thursday before Christmas. It's great to be with you for the first time.
Well, thanks for having me, John.
Dan, for the folks out there that may have not have heard of your work, can you tell us a little bit about your background and maybe going back to your days in the seminary?
Yeah. So my brother, Alex, and I are two of 10 children. And my mother was graduated from Juilliard at the, and was building a career as a concert pianist. And she just kept on hearing this voice in her head saying, "What profits it a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul?" Because she was starting to live the fast life in New York City, and it would not leave her. And she said, "I think God just is calling me to step away." So she stayed in New York City. She sung under Leonard Bernstein, did choral music there. But then she met my dad and had 10 kids. And she taught us all of our instruments. And so we grew up playing classical music. But my mother always said that it was always for God's glory, and that music was the most effective way for God to get into the heart of anybody. And we heard from that quote from St. Augustine, she said, "Beauty is what opens the heart to the Holy Spirit. And then it's not up to us, it's up to the Holy Spirit to finish the work." And so when we started, my brother and I decided we wanted to start a Celtic folk band. We kind of always heard our mom's voice, just, you know, do something beautifully, do it well, do it for the glory of God, and then it will change the world. So we've been doing it now for 18 years. We've done over 2,500 shows. It started actually informally when I was in seminary on Friday nights. I couldn't go out, so I started picking up these tunes with my brother, Alex, and then we ran out of gas money, so we decided to make a ministry playing on the streets for gas money, and then we just tell people we were seminarians. And we had great conversations, and it also let us drive to and from school. And then, you know, here we are 18 years later. I think, you know, I discerned out, but I think I found my true vocation in seminary.
Well, Dan, you have a Ukrainian background. How did you end up playing Irish type music?
Well, you know, our stories are very similar. The Ukrainian people have been oppressed for most of their history. The Irish had been oppressed for most of their history. We had an underground church. You had an underground church. You know, we're farmers and poets, and we love to sing and drink and make merry. My grandfather was actually a freedom fighter, fought against the Nazis and the communists. And so when I first started hearing the songs of Ireland, I was like, these are our songs. They're just in English. And growing up Ukrainian, no one even knew what a Ukrainian was because it wasn't even on the map when I was a kid. It was just the USSR. So it was nice for my brother and myself to be able to play music that had a lot of emotional content for us that our friends could understand. Because we grew up speaking Ukrainian in the home, listening to all the songs, but no one ever understood what we were trying to convey. So we were attracted, and the Irish fiddle. My brother's an amazing fiddler. So there's something about the lilt of the Irish fiddle that really drew us. And that's how we ended up, you know, being headliners on the Irish festival circuit.
We're joined live this morning by Dan Federica, the co-founder of Scythian, an Irish Celtic Catholic band. And Dan, you performed for all these years, 18 plus years, 2,500 different shows, but you've had the blessing of performing for the President of the United States and at World Youth Day. Can you give us a couple of highlights from that experience?
Oh, man, geez. Both were literally gifts from God. You know, we just got a phone call one morning. You know, "Hello, this is the speakers of the House office. You came highly recommended for the St. Patrick's Day. Would you be willing to play for the president on St. Patrick's Day?" Okay, we'll clear our schedules. We'll make sure we're there. So that's how that happened. We're just out of the blue. We got to play in the Capitol. It was maybe 120 people and the president of Ireland and president of the United States. So it was an incredible feeling to be in there was it was George Bush right before he was lame duck at that point. But it was just amazing. I got to play a couple of songs for him, got to meet him, talk to him. And then same thing, I applied to play at World Youth Day, and it just so happened that the woman organizing the entire event, I had played hacky sack with as a teenager when I lived in Austria. She had become a Dominican nun and was transferred to Australia and was in charge of the entire event. So as soon as she saw my name, she was like, I know him. I know his music. He's playing on the main stage. So, you know, kind of, you know, long shots, God arranged it, and incredible experiences. Closing out, we got to basically be there at the end of Holy Hour. Everyone was, because of security, escorted away. And it was just my friend, the Dominican nun, my brother and myself, and 20, or maybe 50 feet away from us, were the first humans that Pope Benedict could see. And of course, Pope Benedict, you know, the next nearest is 1,000 feet away, and he keeps on seeing a Dominican nun. So say Pope Benedict is always just looking down and waving at us.
This was in Cologne.
This was actually Sydney, World Youth Day in Australia.
Oh, in Sydney. Yeah, because I was at the one in Cologne with Pope Benedict. This was later on in Sydney.
Oh, it was incredible. When we played, there was probably maybe 350,000 to 500,000 people in the stadium.
Awesome.
And, it was an amazing, it was a gift from God. You know, just one of those things, like, and that's the way our career has been. We're self-managed, and we just basically ask God to provide for us and our families. And it's been an amazing whirlwind of 18 years.
Well, Dan, tell us about your latest album, Christmas Out to Sea, the inspiration and what you're hoping for.
You know, we were very much drawn. We wanted to do a Christmas album, but we're tired of all the croony Christmas, the emotional feel-good Christmas, of course, the un-Christian Christmas. And we wanted to have something that had the deep theological content, but yet could really appeal to the masses and get the hymns back out there again. And, you know, there's something about being out at sea, which is very romantic for everybody. You know, pirates, some people associate with pirates, some people just like the idea of being out at sea. But I think it really ties in to me personally. We were drawn to it because sailors of their day were looked at much like the shepherds of Jesus's time. They were considered the low life of society, the people that you wouldn't want your daughter marrying. And no one really, you know, Alec, no one really believed the shepherds when they said angels appeared to them because they were the lowest of the low. And to me, it kind of, two things reminded me of, there's that quote from G.K. Chesterton that said, we are all in the same boat and we are all seasick. He said that in reference to original sin. And when I was thinking about, you know, going deep into these carols, trying to choose manly songs that could be sung by manly voices, the theology really just struck true. That's another reason I think why we love Christmas music, because deep down, my mom passed away from cancer on Christmas Eve over a decade ago. And we went to Christmas Eve Mass that night, and it was that night that I realized, you know, we're all in such need of a Savior, and what happens when we die really does matter. And the fact that Jesus came, and, you know, like the shepherds, wait, you came to save me? Like, I'm a nobody. Why are you coming first to me to save me? That's basically the emotional content at its deepest core, and that's why we decided to do that. And one of the cool things is we actually have our wives are singing on here as well. So we have the perspective of men out at sea and then women waiting for their husbands at shore. And so we couldn't be happier, and it's available now on our website, sithiamusic.com, and I think it's on iTunes starting today or tomorrow. And we're also just partnered with the Knights of Columbus to give 50% of our digital downloads to help Ukrainians make it through the winter. So all that information can be found on our website.
That is absolutely tremendous. I want to share just a little excerpt from one of your songs from the Christmas Out at Sea album that touched my heart.
I saw three ships come sailing in on Christmas Day.
Dan, this is great stuff. This is absolutely different than your typical Christmas music.
Well, thanks, John. You know, that was kind of our goal, and we really hope that it's part of people's Christmas playlist and that they can just rejoice.
Well, you know, you think of all the people out there, especially, you know, with this winter blizzard that is coming. So many people struggling. They're going to be far from home. People who are dealing with the war in Europe, in Ukraine, people perhaps in jail, in hospitals. There's so many reasons to pray for so many people. But this music of yours can really bring a smile and bring hope and joy to so many across our country.
Oh, thank you. And of course, please remember the people of Ukraine. And if you have any spare change, send it to the Knights of Columbus. They're doing amazing work over there, especially with no gas or power. It's going to be a very brutal Christmas and winter for the Ukrainian people. So please keep them in your prayers.
We have been praying for them for a long, long time. And we hope that the consecration that our Holy Father, Pope Francis, did back in the spring will eventually pay off and there will be peace in Ukraine and an end to this war. Dan, thanks so much for being with us. Many blessings here these last couple of days during Advent, and a Merry Christmas to you and your ministry.
Thank you so much. Same to you, John.
God bless you. Dan Federica, the co-founder of Scythian and their new album, Christmas Out at Sea. We need to take a short time out when Morning Air continues. Our spiritual director, Father James Kubicki, is going to be with us to talk about the real reason why there was no room at the inn as we continue to prepare for Christmas. Stay with us. There is much more to come in the final half hour of the year for Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and Relevant Radio app. Dreaming of a white Christmas, your dream is going to come true for most of our nation here in the next couple of days. Welcome back to our final live show of Morning Air for 2022. I'm John Morales. Glenn is off. Our producer, Sarah, is with us. Thanks so much for joining us on this Thursday before Christmas here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Can you believe it? The countdown is down to only three more days before Christmas. Now, most of us know the story of St. Joseph pounding on doors trying to find a place where Mother Mary can give birth to baby Jesus. The owner of the local inn slams the door in Joseph's face, saying basically that there's no vacancy. Then Joseph finally finds a stable where animals are kept and brings Mary to that humble place just in time for Jesus' arrival. But what is the real reason why there was no room at the inn? Our number, if you want to share your thoughts and be part of this conversation, 888-914-9149. Joining us live once again this morning is our spiritual director, Father James Kubicki, to reflect on the answer to that question and to prepare us for the birth of the baby of Bethlehem, Christ the Lord. Father Kubicki is a Jesuit priest, retreat director, and spiritual director for the St. Francis de Sales Seminary in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, and a Relevant Radio contributor with his daily prayer reflections that you hear every day here on Relevant Radio, as well as a longtime contributor to Morning Air. Good morning, Father Kubicki. Thanks so much for joining us. It is a real joy to be with you here on this Thursday before Christmas, our very last show of the year.
Yes, John, it's good for me to be with you as well. I really appreciate the opportunity, and it's a nice way that I can greet all our listeners to say a very blessed Merry Christmas and good hopes for the coming new year. So glad I could be on the show today.
Well, Father Kubicki, let's talk about this Christmas story as it's told in the Gospel of Luke, where Luke writes in Luke 2:7, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Can you talk about the proper understanding, the proper translation? After all, this was not written in English back then, but in Greek, most probably. Can you give us some perspective?
Well, there's a number of different things that have been written about this. And, you know, the important thing to remember is that when we study the scriptures, it's good for us to delve a little bit into not only what the story says, but some background, you know, some of the archaeology, some of the cultural customs of the time. And as I understand it, the various inns that were around at that time were not very reputable places, and that the translation of that word inn could actually mean guest room, and that many families had an extra room where family members, guests, could stay. And because St. Joseph had to come to Bethlehem because he was of the house of David, you would assume that there were relatives of his there. But because they were coming for the census, there were probably quite a few people inundating Bethlehem at the time. And so it may have been that even the family guest rooms were occupied. And we don't know for sure, but there's good evidence that Jesus was born in a stable or cave. Because we have St. Luke, and the tradition is that St. Luke heard a lot about the early life of Jesus from Mother Mary. And so Mary would have revealed to him incidents like the Annunciation, the Visitation, and then the birth of Jesus. So it seems that I think the bottom line in all of this, John, is that that the Holy Family had to wander around a little bit to find a place where Mary could give birth, where they could stay. And I think for us, the spiritual lesson is we don't want the Holy Family to wander this Christmas, but we want them to find a place in our hearts, that our hearts can be a place that can give them a good welcome when we celebrate Christmas Day this year.
And it occurred to me as we're meditating on this passage that obviously the Blessed Mother, the Immaculate Conception, and Saint Joseph, other than the Blessed Mother, the greatest saint of all time, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So you know the Holy Spirit was directing the way, telling them exactly where to go for little baby Jesus to be born.
That's right. You know, and that's important for us as well to draw a spiritual lesson. You know, with all of these stories, it's good for us to reflect on them and to think, how does this apply to my life? So you bring up a very good point, John, about how the Holy Spirit would have been at work directing Jesus or directing Joseph and Mary to the right place for them. And in our lives, you know, where doors are closed, where our plans go awry, that's where we have to be very attentive to the Holy Spirit's guidance to say, okay, this door that I was hoping for, or this opportunity, this plan that I had is not going to work out. So, Holy Spirit, where are you directing me? Where are you leading me? What do you want me to do? I think that's one of the lessons we can learn as we pray about the Christmas story.
There's also a lesson of humility. I mean, it took great humility for the Holy Family, Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph, to give birth to Jesus in a stable or a cave. Obviously, this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and in humility, he's born in a stable or a cave.
That's right. You know, and one of the elements of that, you know, it is the humility. You know, if we were to look at this, if we were to say, if I were God the Father, I would have my son born in a palace. But God wanted to reveal to the world His humility, that God himself is humble. He, as the scriptures say, this is the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians chapter 2, that Jesus, son though he was, son of God though he was, divine person that he was, he humbled himself and shared in our humanity, even to the point of being born in a stable. And I think one of the elements that, you know, is good for us to remember, I remember when I was growing up, you know, we had this wonderful stable that my father had made from different branches of trees, small, you know, the smaller branches, and he put them together to form this cute little stable. And then we had the figures of the Holy Family, the shepherds, the animals. And I always remember my mother, when we would put this set together, and when we would put on Christmas Day the child Jesus into the manger, she would always draw the animals closer to Jesus. And she would say, now the animals are going to keep Jesus warm. They're going to be blowing on him with their warm air. And, you know, that's one element of the stable that we forget, is that, you know, where the animals were often in throughout history, people have lived in a place where animals were, because animals would exude heat that could heat up the place where they were staying. And so I remember hearing stories of how in Europe in the medieval times, people would have their own living quarters in a barn above where the animals were, so that as the heat rose, it would be a way of keeping them warm. So it's a wonderful, I think, way again for us to enter into this mystery of the birth of Jesus, to reflect on it, to really make it concrete in our imaginations, so that we can look at that humility of Jesus, not just think, oh yes, Jesus was humble, but to imagine what that humility actually entailed.
And Father Kubicki, you mentioned that St. Luke was an artist, and you know, throughout the centuries, there have been so many different depictions of the creche, the nativity scene of baby Jesus and the Holy Family and the shepherds and the sheep. And it's really, it's mm-hmm. so moving to see the imagination of so many great artists, the greats of the greats throughout the centuries that fill the museums of our world, depicting this moment in history.
And, you know, that's part of bringing beauty into the world, but also I think it was a way that throughout history people have, you know, heard the story. If they were illiterate, they couldn't read the story, but they heard the story. And throughout history people have had that desire to ponder it and look at it, and so to try to depict it in an artistic way. I have to admit, John, for myself, I really like some of the more contemporary scenes that are being created that make Jesus look like an honest-to-goodness real baby, because it's often easy for us to depict Jesus in a way that he doesn't almost seem human. He seems he is the divine child, but he's also human. And so I love the Christmas cards and pictures and images where Jesus in his first days is depicted as a real baby would be, in need of human love and affection and care.
This explains why the tradition in South America and Colombia of the divine Christ child, Divino Niño, is actually of a real baby, a real little boy.
Oh, that's wonderful. And that's what, you know, St. Francis of Assisi tried to do back in the 1200s when he had a living nativity scene, which I'm told included a young couple and a recently born baby, as a way of trying to help the people of his time really enter into that mystery of God taking flesh and becoming so vulnerable and helpless as a tiny baby. And so he had a living nativity scene to help us do that as well.
I love that. And Father, real quick, I actually won a raffle here at Relevant Radio and won one of those beautiful nativity scenes that Relevant Radio gives away in recent years. And I brought it home and got it all set up in front of our place. And baby Jesus is not in the scene yet. We're waiting for the big day. But what a thrill to be able to really meditate and really look at the beauty of this moment, the most important moment in history.
That's right. And I'm so glad you won and you got that beautiful nativity scene. And I'm glad to hear too that Jesus will come to the manger on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, because that's what it's all about, is to remember how he entered into time at a particular place and on a particular day and hour. So that's great to remember him that way.
We've got him ready to go, little baby Jesus, to put him in the crib. We're going to take a short break. I want to invite our listeners, if you have any thoughts on how you can make room for Jesus in your hearts this Christmas, we'd love to hear from you. We're taking your calls for Father James Kibicki at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short time out as we continue our conversation with Father Kibicki. Stay with us. There is more to come on this Thursday before Christmas here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Triple eight nine one four nine one four nine is our number if you want to join the conversation. We're talking about the real reason why there was no room at the inn. As we continue our discussion with our spiritual director, Father James Kibicki. Father Kibicki, I wanted to put this discussion in perspective, and I want you to talk about how the beautiful nativity scene that we experience here at Christmas time, how this changed the world forever.
Well, it's part of the great mystery of our faith that when humanity was lost, lost in sin, and as a result of sin, death, that God chose to save the world in an amazing way. You know, we can look through the stories in the Old Testament of how God tried to purify the world through the flood at the time of Noah. And what happened is that people didn't change. They returned to their old sinful ways. And so throughout history, God was reaching out to humanity. But in what St. Paul calls the fullness of time, at the most appropriate moment, at the time when the world was relatively at peace during the oppression of the Roman Empire, that God came into history as a tiny little baby, and that God chose to save us not from outside, not coming in with a band of angels, forcing us to follow his way, his commandments, but becoming a tiny little baby to share our life, our sufferings, our sorrows, but also our joys, and ultimately to share death itself, and in that way to overcome death. And so there's, you know, the mystery of God becoming human, I think, is so important, because the original temptation was for humanity to try to become divine, that we would try to become gods in control. That was what the original temptation was. And throughout history, and even, you know, as we look at our world today, we see humanity trying to be God, trying to be in control, trying to determine for itself what is truth and what it's going to do. And so even now, we have the example of God saying, no, I love humanity, and I want you to be truly human and not to try to be in control and be gods, but be human children made in my image and likeness, because that's who I sent my son to be, to show you the way. So, you know, the mystery of the Christmas and the birth of Jesus, what we look at in our Christmas cards and creche scenes, is a reminder to us of God loving humanity. And so we ourselves should love our own humanity. And that doesn't mean sinful humanity, but it means the humility to let God be God and not try to be in control of our lives and other people the way Adam and Eve originally tried to be.
Father Kubicki, we have time for a call. Daniel is joining us. He's up early this morning from Los Angeles, California. Good morning. Welcome to Morning Air, Daniel.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, I just was calling in. I'm on my way to work, actually, so I wanted to just be brief. What my family and I do is at my mom's, at my parents' house, we basically gather and we have different members of our family kind of participate in the posada. So just enact different parts of the nativity scene. And it's really to try to teach our kids. I have two under two right now. So actually my firstborn was the baby Jesus the first Christmas. And then, but yeah, we really just try to instill the fact that Christ is at the center of Christmas, and it's not just about gifts, giving each other like presents, but really giving each other the gift of Christ.
Well, thank you, Daniel. That's a wonderful suggestion for all our listeners. I think it'd be good for them to learn more about the Posada. Growing up in a Polish-American family, I had no clue what that was about. And I first experienced a Posada when I was giving a retreat out your way in Los Angeles. I was at the Sacred Heart Retreat House in Alhambra, run by the Carmelite Sisters of the Sacred Heart of Jesus of Los Angeles. And during the Advent retreat, we enacted the Posada of the Holy Family going from one part of the retreat house to another, looking for a place to stay, and then finally being received into a place where then we had a little party. So it's wonderful, those kinds of customs, Daniel, and I hope that you have a very blessed Christmas as you have your Posada again this year.
Thanks so much, Daniel. Really appreciate it. Merry Christmas. Father Kubicki, we're down to the last 60 seconds. Your final thoughts on how we can make room for Jesus in our hearts, and also can you give us your blessing?
Sure. Well, I think, first of all, to remember that Jesus came in order to continue coming to us in Holy Communion. So to be sure to celebrate at Mass this Christmas, and then to recognize that Jesus, by becoming one with us, becomes one with every human being. And so to make room in our lives for people who may be lonely, members of our family who are suffering, to be sure to reach out to them. And so we pray, Lord, that you would help us make a good Christmas, to have a good Christmas in which we celebrate your birth, Jesus. And we ask your blessing upon all our listeners, our families and friends, and upon the new year coming. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Many blessings these last couple of days of Advent, and a Merry Christmas, blessed Christmas to you, Father Kubicki.
Thank you so much, John. Merry Christmas to all our listeners.
Merry Christmas. Our spiritual director, Father James Kubicki, and now it's time for another edition of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called The Christmas Carol by Victor Parishin. When World War I erupted in 1914, launching the first great European war of the 20th century, soldiers on both sides were assured they'd be home by Christmas to celebrate victory. That prediction proved to be false. The men on the fronts did not get home for Christmas, as the war dragged on for 4 years. During that time, over 8.5 million men were killed, with hundreds of thousands more dying from injuries. The war to end all wars took a horrific human toll and transformed Europe. On Christmas Eve, December of 1914, however, one of the most unusual events in military history took place on the Western Front. On the night of December 24th, the weather abruptly became cold, freezing the water and slush of the trenches in which the men were bunkered. On the German side, soldiers began lighting candles. British sentries reported to commanding officers there appeared to be small lights raised on poles or bayonets. Although these lanterns clearly illuminated German troops, making them vulnerable to being shot, the British held their fire. Even more amazing, British officers saw through binoculars that some of the enemy troops were holding Christmas trees over their heads with lighted candles in their branches. The message was clear. Germans who celebrated Christmas on the eve, the 24th, were extending holiday greetings to their enemies. Within moments of that sighting, the British then began hearing a few German soldiers singing a Christmas carol. It was soon picked up all along the German line as other soldiers joined in harmonizing. The words heard were these: Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht. British troops immediately recognized the melody as Silent Night, Holy Night, and began singing in English along with the Germans. The singing of Silent Night quickly neutralized all hostilities on both sides. One by one, British and German soldiers began laying down their weapons to venture into no man's land, a small patch of bombed-out earth between the two sides. So many soldiers on both sides ventured out that superior officers were prevented from objecting. An undeclared truce had erupted and peace had broken out. Frank Richards was an eyewitness to this unofficial truce. In his wartime diary, he wrote, "We stuck up a board with Merry Christmas on it. The enemy stuck up a similar one. Two of our men threw their equipment off and jumped on the parapet with their hands above their heads, as two of the Germans did the same. Our two going to meet them. They shook hands, and then we all got out of the trench, and so did the Germans." Richards also explained that some German soldiers spoke perfect English, with one saying how fed up he was with the war and how he'd be glad when it was all over. His British counterpart agreed. That night, former enemy soldiers sat around a common campfire. They exchanged small gifts from their meager belongings, chocolate bars, buttons, badges, and small tins of processed beef. Men who only hours earlier had been shooting to kill were now sharing Christmas festivities and showing each other family snapshots. The truce ended just as it had begun by mutual agreements. Captain Stockwell recalled how, after a truly silent night, he fired three shots into the air at 8:30 a.m. on December 26th and then stepped up onto the trench bank. A German officer who had exchanged gifts with Captain Stockwell the previous night also appeared on a trench bank. They bowed, saluted, and climbed back into their trenches. A few moments afterwards, Captain Stockwell heard the German officer fire two shots into the air, and the war was on again. John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid."
What an awesome and relevant story corner that Glenn left for us. Let's continue to pray for peace in Ukraine and in Europe. And in these final days of Advent, go to confession and let's remember Christ, the reason for the season, by praying the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every night of the week here on Relevant Radio. That'll do it for this Thursday before Christmas edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverance, producer Sarah Tafoya, Gabby Burke, our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. This is our last live Morning Air show of 2022. Have a very blessed and Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Feliz Navidad y Prospero Año Nuevo.